I ran across a little bit of information that I had filed away a while back and thought I might share it with you tonight. You blink your eyes an average of 25 times every minute. Every blink of your eye takes approximately 1/5 of a second. Now follow me on this. Therefore, if you were to take a 10-hour automobile trip averaging 40 miles an hour, you would drive approximately 20 miles with your eyes closed. I'm sure there's somebody that will want to check the math after services are over, and you'll be wanting the details, and so you can see me for the formula again. But you know, there is a fact that is more surprising than that to some of us, is that some people go through life with their eyes closed. Actually, they look, but I mean to say they don't really see. They observe what's on the surface, but they never really get a glimpse of what's underneath. Vision is present, but perception is absent. In a word, they lack insight. Now, Webster defines insight as apprehending the true nature of a thing, especially through intuitive understanding, penetrating mental vision, or discernment. Now, that sounds a lot more complicated than it really is. What I want to ask each of us tonight is, how well are you at practicing the matter of seeing more than just what's on the surface? This evening, as Paul made reference to at the very beginning, I want us to think about the very biblical subject of insight. I believe God wants us to see more than just what's on the surface. Let me illustrate it like this. For example, take the matter of Bible study. Some people seem to want to log up a great long list of chapters that they've read, but they never really get around to digging down beneath the surface and coming to a clear understanding of what God's Word says. They rip through the Bible in runaway fashion, trying to make sure that they get it all read in a year or in 6 months or whatever. And the matter of Bible study is never accomplished. Now, don't stop reading your Bible every day, but slow down and ponder what's there more than just the words that you run through on the paper. It takes insight to clearly see the message that God's Word holds for us. I believe insight is crucial to good preaching and teaching. There's a tremendous challenge to see the obvious application of God's Word to the real life situations around us. I think insight is important in the matter of dealing with problems, with church problems or any other kind of problems. The truly insightful person is a valuable asset in solving problems, clearing up difficulties and settling differences. Somebody says, where do you see all that in the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked. The need for proper insight is implied all through the Bible, but I believe that there are at least, well, in fact, there are many more than just four passages, but the four that I'd like for us to look at this evening deal with the matter of insight in some very specific terms. If you'll join me in your Bibles, we're going to be reading these passages and we'll begin in the 6th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6, we begin reading in verse 45. Mark says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening and the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them, and he said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Now here we've got a boatload of disciples just absolutely scared to death. This takes place, of course, just after Jesus had fed the 5,000 people with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And if there ever was a lesson, an illustration of Jesus' power and ability to take care of the disciples, this was it. After they had gathered up the leftovers, he sent them away in the boat, and Jesus went into the mountain to find a quiet place to pray. And the storm comes up, and instead of remembering the lesson that they had learned about the Lord's power to protect them and to take care of them, they were filled with panic. And of course, he comes to their rescue and calms the sea, stills the wind, and assures them that there is no reason for fear. Now, what does it mean when it says in verse 52, reading from the New American Standard Version, that they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves? What insight should they have gained? They had been amazed. They had been very thankful that he had filled the people's stomachs. But they hadn't learned the lesson that they should not fear because of him. The deeper, more important lesson was there, but they had missed it. They had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. It was more than just a free lunch for 5,000 people. It had a lesson, but the lesson required insight in order to see it. I suppose that the disciples were very much like we can be sometimes, especially in the face of an event that seems astonishing or in some way surprising or staggering. We're impressed with the magnitude of the happening, whatever it is, but we never get around to thinking carefully about the details of what has gone on and how it has gone on. The Greek root word behind the one translated insight means literally to put together. Mentally, they had all the pieces of the puzzle, but they didn't put the pieces of the puzzle together so that they could see the picture clearly that the puzzle held for them. Puzzles can sometimes be tough. It also takes determined effort to put together things and gain insight. It never works for lazy people. It's something that never comes about automatically. It's something that you have to put some effort into in order to gain the true lesson that God's Word often holds for us. What does it mean there in the last phrase? But their heart was hardened. I don't think it means anything akin to what Scripture refers to when it says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I don't think it's talking about an attitude of resentment or rejection or unbelief. I think it refers to the fact that their heart was not directed toward learning what was there in that incident. It was not that they were unwilling to see the lesson, but just that they were perhaps unaccustomed to seeing such things. We need to put the effort into looking carefully for the lessons in God's Word. William Barclay, in his commentary at this point, says that their minds were obtuse. The word obtuse means blunt or dull. They had evidently become insensitive. They heard and they saw, but it never dawned on them what it really meant, what the Lord was really teaching them. They weren't putting together all of the little details in order to get the big picture. That's a common problem even today. And in fact, many of the difficulties that we see erupting in the Lord's church today among those who have become so easily swayed and led astray are the result of just this kind of dull-minded reasoning and thinking that never gives careful consideration to the principles that are contained in Scripture. And therefore, it could truly be said today that many lack the important spiritual insight. Let's go now to a second passage which mentions this same principle in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Verse 1 says, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, 'When it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, you say there'll be a storm today, because the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given except the sign of Jonah.' And he left them and went away. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' And so they began to discuss this among themselves, saying, 'He said that because we didn't bring any bread.' But Jesus, aware of this, said, 'You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand and remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up, or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?' Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees." Here again, they're dull. They heard the words of Jesus, but they didn't put it together. And so he explained it to them. And then it says they understood. The word that's translated understood here is the same word that we saw back there in Mark chapter 6, which is translated gained insight. Here they were being overly sensitive, feeling guilty because they'd forgotten to bring any bread along. And so anything that the Lord said, they interpreted it to mean that he was getting on to them in an indirect way for their carelessness and their forgetfulness. And Jesus appears to become frustrated with them. He knows their thoughts. And he refers to them as men of little faith. You men of little faith. Today, often because of the preoccupation of our minds with other things, we sometimes miss the clear and simple message that God's Word has for us. The disciples here on this occasion were learning that they needed to constantly look deeper than just the obvious in order to truly discern the lesson that Jesus was teaching to them. In these first two cases, the disciples were dull of understanding, seemingly because they were not in the habit of looking for the deeper truth, and because maybe they were preoccupied with a situation that was going on or something like that. Now let's look at a third case where some fail to see a spiritual truth because they refuse to acknowledge what's really right. Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says here, speaking of some in his day who refused to accept the truth, he said, "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them.'" The word "understand" there in verse 15 again is the same word in the original Greek as the word translated "insight." There was the same word used to describe the hearts of those that Jesus is referring to here when he says their hearts are dull. The heart of this people has become dull. But the reason for their dullness here is different. It was an unwillingness to comply with what they understood. It was a purposeful dullness. Some people lack insight because they're unaccustomed to looking for it, and a lot of us fit into that category sometimes. But others, though, lack insight because they don't really want to find it. They really don't want to know what the truth really is, because they know if they acknowledge the truth will bring about some responsibility that they will have to either address or answer to. That was the case of these people that Jesus refers to, these people whose heart have become dull, who don't see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and repent, because they don't want to repent, Jesus says. Now let's look at a fourth passage for one more reason that some people seem to possess no insight. From Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. The writer says, "Concerning him we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Why were these Hebrew Christians dull of hearing? Because, he says, they haven't trained their senses to discern good and evil. A lot of good people today in the church have logged hours and hours under teaching of the Word of God. Opportunities to use and apply those truths have been countless, but like the people in this passage, they've become dull of hearing, thick, lazy, sluggish, dare I say, sleepy. They're unable to put it together A lack of maturity is the result of the failure to mix insight with disciplined practice and training. Perhaps some of us are in danger of dying on the vine, or maybe dying on the pew, as this problem manifests itself in a number of ways. A failure to practice what we know will bring about the inability to see beyond the surface. In James chapter 1, verse 22, James says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves." It's one thing to know it, but practicing what you know is crucial. Not only a failure to practice, but sometimes a failure to work hard leads to a level of complacency and dullness. Sometimes the failure to see the difference between reading God's Word and studying God's Word, as we mentioned at the very beginning, leads to a kind of dullness. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." A synonym for the word meditate there in that passage is the word ruminate. You cattle farmers in our group will know that word. Ruminate means literally to regurgitate something like a cow does and chew it up again and swallow it again. It's interesting that that's the word that's parallel with the term meditate here, referring to Scripture. But the end result of that is insight. Are you seeing clearly that which a child of God should see? Are you able to perceive things that are below the surface? Or are you dazzled with just the outward things and then move on without really absorbing the real truth, without the perception, the insight that comes from God's Word? A careful use and application of God's Word will provide solutions to the most difficult of problems. And yet it will only work if we're willing to work it. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.